U.S. college students get Google Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hey, y'all. Right now, during Ghostbed Cyber Monday sale, you can get 25% off site-wide for a limited time. Just go to ghostbed.com/Norton and use the promo code Norton at checkout. That's ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. Upgrade your sleep with Ghostbed, the makers of the coolest beds in the world. Some exclusions apply. Why don't you check out that site for details? I'm on the road, jimnorton.com/tour. You can see me in December. I'm going to be in Maine, Connecticut, and Massachusetts at the Wilbur. At the end of January, I'm going to be in Sellersville, Pennsylvania. Then in February, Bakersfield, California, and Las Vegas. jimnorton.com/tour for ticks.
Jim Norton can't save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can't help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
I'm really glad you're here. It's funny, I was talking to Mike about Kiss posters, and my fans are so sick of hearing about me. No one cares about my Kiss poster collection, but I knew when you walked in, you would appreciate it.
I can't, what's amazing, not just the art itself, it's right there when you come in. Every time you come home, you are in 1976, 77.
You're right
there, so you must always feel young.
I do, but I also know that my wife absolutely hates, like, that she's been begging me. There's one right there that's a Kiss Phantoms poster from the movie theater in like Italy or Spain or something.
Yeah,
she hates that so much.
Well, because the movie sucked. She's got good taste.
It was a bad movie. I know. It was a bad movie.
Put Kiss Alive 2 up there. Maybe she won't be so hard on you.
No, I had Destroyer before that. She hated that.
Love Gun, Destroyer. Those are at least nice art.
That's true.
I mean, that thing is...
That's not the best, yeah.
That's not great.
But it's a movie poster, and this... I only have movie posters up in here, so I'm like...
Yeah, but movie, in, like...
Not a great
really,
one.
Is that really in your top 10 to
no.
put in
the... No, no. My favorite part is where Gene is running through the... he kicks over the house, and remember that little guardhouse he kicks over, and it's just so bad.
You know, I saw the movie once. I was... What year did it come out?
79, I think.
Yes, so I was like 13, 14 years old or something, and... I was so excited, my buddy and I, like we prepared to watch this movie. Cleared our schedule, if you will, as a 14-year-old, and it was just
You were disappointed?
Yeah.
How far in, because the voices were weird, how far in to the movie do you remember going like, oh no?
Oh no, we devoured every second of it, and then when it was over, we were like, Yeah, like that's it? There's no flames, nothing happens. I don't remember how it ends.
I don't remember the ending, but I remember there was a Phantom in a park. It Kiss Meets the Phantom in the Park is what it was called, right? Yeah. And 78. And they Kiss had to try to stop the Phantom of the Park. And it was a really, really riveting masterpiece.
Who wrote it? I wonder who wrote it.
I don't know. I know that apparently Ace and Peter were difficult on set.
Eric Carr, RIP. He died something like 30 years ago today.
Oh, that's right. Yep. And it's funny with Eric Carr too. Like I only like the Ace, Peter, Paul, and Gene era. But the Eric Carr stuff I collect on the posters because there's some really cool photos of of Eric Carr with the band, like stuff from like the early 80s. So I kind of, he kind of brought me a little bit further along than I had been.
The other weird thing about is that you don't have any other bands hanging up. I mean, it's really, you come home and you must just feel, you like I come home and sometimes I'll see an old picture of myself and I feel, I don't want to see that every time. But you're walking right back into high school every time you walk in the door.
Well, if you look, the other wall has other bands on it.
Oh, okay.
The other wall has like Metallica and Sabbath, but that one wall, it's an obsession. Like I'm very obsessed. Are you obsessive? I'm like very, very addicted easily.
No.
You're not?
No, no. I get bored easily and move on.
You do?
Yeah.
Are you, do you get attached?
Not bored, but I hold on to my fun memories and I still listen to Kiss all the time. And I was upset because somebody posted a picture of Peter Criss singing Beth. They're like, from a fundraiser last night. I was like, how do I not know about this fundraiser? Yeah. I would have gone to that.
Well, you know, the I was begging people when I heard they were being honored in the Kennedy Center. I was calling people, anyone who might have a connection to Doc McGee. I'm like, I have to meet all four of them together.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Ace.
What happened?
He hasn't been well.
He hasn't been texting me back.
I know. No, it's, I wouldn't take it personally. I did for a little while, but I think he's I think he's laid up.
Aww.
Very depressing.
I know.
So now I don't care about going to it because I just wanted to.
Right.
I wanted to meet all four. You ever meet all four of them?
I never met all. I've met all four of them, but all separately.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Getting them together in the same room is.
I may have shook Peter Criss's hand once, but I don't. I wouldn't say I met him.
Oh, you didn't talk to him?
No, but I definitely talked to the other guys.
Yeah, I've interviewed all of them over the years, and Gene was difficult at first. Like the first time, I was like, yeah. I don't think he likes me. He kind of gives a weird impression.
Well, he's tough.
He's tough.
Yeah.
But you got me on the Kiss roast, the Gene Simmons roast in like 2007 or 9?
Something like that.
On Family Jewels.
Yeah.
And ever since then, he couldn't have been nicer.
Yep.
Every time he sees me, Norton!
The best. I went to his daughter's wedding.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was great. Watching him dance with his father of the bride, the whole thing.
Was Paul there?
Yep.
Did you say hi?
Oh, yeah.
Did he know you?
Yeah.
That's great.
It was really cool.
Who's the most thrilled? Because you're everywhere and you're very recognizable. Who's the most thrilled you've been when they knew you?
Oh, wow. Whew. Joe Walsh made me so happy. Paul McCartney. I'd have
really?
To jump to Paul McCartney.
Where'd you meet him?
You know, I didn't actually meet him until later, but he came to the Improv one night, and I don't know if he'd seen me before, but and I went up and did, you know, 15 minutes, and I saw him cracking up, laughing, and then I came off stage, and they took him out the back door. I never
right.
saw him. They were, like, over taking care of him.
Yes.
And months later, I'm in some schlumpy green room somewhere in the Midwest. I forgot exactly where. And I started getting texts from Rick Ingram and Jeff Wills from Live Nation, and later on Chris Rock backed this all up. He was there. Paul McCartney showed up at a Chris Rock show in LA, and one of them said, "Who's your favorite comic?" And he goes, "The bald guy who takes the piss out of people." And they were like, "Jeff Ross?" And he's like, yeah. And then they challenged him to name another comic, one from England, and he just couldn't.
Really?
So I was like, so I've been wearing that badge.
That is so funny.
And then briefly, I ran up to him and shook his hand at a Super Bowl last year.
Did he remember you?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
I knew who you are.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Did you take a photo or you're not a photo
guy? I did
guy?
Take a photo. It's a terrible photo. I was clearly annoying him because the rush of Super Bowl. But
you have to.
You know, I was like, yeah. In my head, I'm like, I could die. I got to get this photo. But the truth is, he's in the one who's in his 80s who looks like he's never going to get old.
Have you ever, is there any that you've regretted not asking? Like, I've met a few, like, years and years and years ago, I didn't get pictures. Was there anybody that you regret, like, God, I should have gotten a picture with him or I should have spoken to him?
No, I don't think so. You know, for me, it's like, I like saving it. I remember walking through
like
a mall.
That with my loads.
I'm definitely doing that now. Saving it all. Saving my love for you. I remember seeing Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks with their wives at the mall going to the movies, and I was with Elon Gold, my buddy.
Yeah.
And Elon's like, "This is our chance. We got to go over there." Blah, blah, blah. I was like, I don't know. They're like, just walking into a movie, Saturday night, date night.
Right.
We were with our chicks, and this is like 30 years, 25, you know. And I said, I think Elon ran over and just like, guys, I could never not do that. And I didn't go.
Yep.
And I think he'd remember that, Elon, but I doubt Mel Brooks remembers.
But was it a good experience?
Because I said, Elon, we'll have our chance and this isn't it. like coming at him like a fan on the street is not my style.
But he did do it.
Waiting until well, we were young, you know, we were fans on the street.
Sure, I would have done it too.
But I realized it wasn't our. We had to wait until I was gonna could come at him like a comic in a different context
where they knew who you were.
Yeah, or I could, or it was clear, or they just saw me perform, or I could talk about comedy or something.
But there's
years later, it all I was right. It all that did come about.
But there's a weird moment, and we're gonna go off Instagram. But just to call in is 720-820. Thank you. 720-820-1337. Call in if you want to. Why am I looking at the phone? I have a camera there. If you want to talk to me or Jeff and you have an advice question, we're both sage gentlemen with great advice to give on physical fitness and appearance to attractive men.
Apple cider donuts I bought on the street on the way here.
They look good, though. They look
really
good.
You don't want a little tiny
bite? No, no, no. I'm back. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to cheat a little on Thanksgiving. All right. So call in if you wish. But the weird thing about when they see you perform, there's a window where it matters and then it goes away. Like Kevin Bacon was at the Improv one night in LA and I went on and I did great. And then I saw him like a couple years later at Sirius and he wouldn't have remembered me. Slick Rick took a picture with me on stage at the Comedy Cellar in the late 90s. I brought him up. We took a picture.
Yeah.
And I saw him years later. I'm like, do you remember that? And he's like, no. I'm like, how often do you get dragged on stage in a comedy club that you wouldn't remember it? So I find that you have to strike while the iron's hot.
That's a good point. Or you have to be funnier where they never forget you.
That's a valid and fair sledgehammer to me. And you're correct. I should have just been memorable by being. But me, I'm like, just go up there, be mediocre, and take a photo with them. It really is.
Yeah. If I got Paul McCartney 3 months later going, yeah, the guy, that guy.
Yeah.
But that was only a few months.
No, but I mean, I'm kind of the same way. Like on the way out the door, they'll remember, but I'm always afraid they're just going to, they're going to forget. You know, all those guys, like I'm always like amazed that you somehow connected with all those old school guys, all of the, you know, the guys from the Friars Club. And like you fell into that world and just fit in.
Yeah.
Where I did one set at the Friars Club and I fucking bombed.
Really?
And Donnie Most from Happy Days was there. And I don't know why. I wanted Donnie Most to like me so much.
Of course. What was the event?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. It was just a set. And,
you never did a Friars Roast? That's surprising.
Never. Huh. No, never did one.
Wow.
How did you get in with those guys? Like, what drew you to them?
Well, the poker. They had a poker room, and I was playing poker in, like, tiny overheated apartments with Mark Cohn and Sarah Silverman and William Stevenson and...
Oh, Eddie and Brill, was that poker
Eddie
game
Brill,
they had?
Yeah, but it was Mark, yes. But before that even, Mark Cohn would have a game, or Lee Frank. And then one day, Greg Fitzsimmons, Judy Gold, Elon Gold, they all sort of said, let's play poker at the Friars Club. And I went up, and like a waiter gives you, you have a drink and a sandwich while you're playing poker in the George Burns card room. And I was like, wow, this is the highlight of my life. I've been playing poker my whole life. Never had anybody go, would you like a drink?
Yeah.
Would you like a club sandwich? They had chips, you know, like poker chips and beautiful table. And it was a statue of George Burns, like a, whatever they call it, a bust of George Burns. And I really felt like I'd made it. And I got hooked into it right away. And within a year or two of that, Greg Fitzsimmons asked me to do the golf tournament named after his dad, the Bob Fitzsimmons Golf Tournament. And Freddie Roman gave me some terrible intro. And I went up and made fun of him and killed. And a few months later, they called me and asked me to do my first roast. So once I started doing the roasts, I started meeting Milton and Buddy Hackett and those kind of guys.
It's funny, I knew you through all that. Like I remember when you're that life-changing Letterman you did, which was, you know, that was kind of like
April 1st, 13th, 1995.
Was that 95?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when you did that.
Didn't 30 years ago, wow.
Didn't you do the joke where you had like the pocketbook on the head waiting?
Yep. That's exactly right, buddy.
I remember that in the Boston.
I did an impression of waiting for a school bus in seventh grade, and I would wrap a bag around my forehead.
Were you doing the poems at that point, too? Enough with the Bread Already?
Yeah, I did that on Letterman.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's 30 years ago.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have died along the way, so I kind of feel like getting old sucks, but at least we're not
dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. We're in our prime, baby. Look at this.
Well, this is my prime. My the end is going to be really ugly. Like, if this is where I'm at my best, the end of my life is going to be a fucking disaster.
Do you get depressed? Do you get sad?
The question would be, am I ever feeling better than, am I ever out of that? No.
Is the podcast cathartic? Does this feel good to talk about it?
It's fun. Like, I like it. People do actually call in with some real shit sometimes, like really like depressed and suicidal some of just relationship comedy questions. But no, I get depressed. Being married, it helps on some level because I have somebody here and I'm not alone. And it, sometimes it makes it worse because like, I'm an addict and I want to go out and do bad things.
Yeah.
And I can't do it.
You're an addict.
Sex addict, yeah. I can't.
How long have you been married?
3 years. We've been together for a while.
And that's changed you, so you don't, your addiction is under control.
It's gotten into food. That's why I'm fattened up. Yeah, believe me, for every pound I've put on, that's six hookers.
Wow. Have you ever fucked a donut? You can kill two birds with one addiction. Kill two addictions with one donut.
I really, it's funny, man, but I am alone in the hotels just eating late. You know how it is. It's
yeah, like, I got to eat after a show.
You do, right?
Yeah.
Are you good at like regulating? Because you lost weight. You look better.
Yeah, because I got a dog and I'm walking the dog and I was doing 90 minutes a day doing the show, Broadway. So it was like, it was a lot of energy.
I loved your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I was really happy. I went to the premiere. And
opening night,
and you were so comfortable, and it killed, and it was wow. like legit laughs, like it, people were really loving what you were doing. That was so good, man. I really
thank
loved
you.
It.
Wow.
I loved it.
Appreciate you coming opening night.
I know,
cool having you.
I very rarely get invited, but of course my tickets weren't ready, but I got them. But that's Jim Norton at any event where I'm supposed to be. There's always a problem.
No. You texted me about it that morning.
Oh, that's right.
Had that shit set up for weeks.
I was like,
Jim, you're also like a person who's been in my life a long time. I go, no matter by any means necessary, that guy has to get in. If he's around, be great to have you there.
It was nice. And I saw like you had some. Your guest list over there, I kept seeing pictures of people that came in the weeks.
Right.
Jim Carrey and Chappelle, obviously.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Isn't it nice to have your friends show up?
It's the hard, it meant so much because, you know, as comedian, especially if you're doing something about your life, it's so personal. We tend to obsess about who didn't come.
Right.
And I do that a little bit, but when I think about who does show up, who did show up for me, I'm like overwhelmed and I'm so satisfied about it.
How do you know Jim Carrey?
He's
one of the guys I've never met.
He's a wonderful guy. He flew in for one day for my show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He told me almost 2 years ago, you're going to make it to Broadway, and I'm going to be there on opening night.
Wow.
And he came the day after opening night. And he was sort of like, we were like acquaintances for years. He'd show up at Roast Battle, or I'd run into him at a festival. And he was the first one to like mention bumping mics to the press, me and Attell, at a festival. So I always had a real fondness for him as a human being. But when Bob Saget died, Jim came to one of the celebrations of life we had for Bob. And we had dinner afterwards. And we started talking regularly, FaceTiming. And it was still sort of the end of the pandemic. And through Saget, in a way, through the loss of Saget, Jim and I became pals where we talk, you know, quite frequently and have vacationed together and going. I threw him a birthday party, you know, like stuff like that.
Where'd you
go
on vacation with Jim Carrey?
He rented a cabin in the woods in the Adirondack Mountains.
That's nice.
It was really lovely. It was a bunch of people.
Actually. I looked at Rats with Voss. You go to a cabin with Jim Carrey. What a great life.
It was lovely. And he's a great guy like that. I've also been to his places. He's one of us. He's a comic.
You know,
of course we think of him as a movie star and this like incredible like superstar who can do anything, but at the end of the day, he's a comic. He's part of our tribe. He talks like us. He's friends are
right.
Comics. You know, so
hates the same things.
Exactly. He goes on rants. He's super hilarious.
Now the holidays are almost here. You're probably going, why are you holding Taffmeister? Wait until you see the Pick Your Pooch eyeglass holders from Uncommon Goods. They make holiday, crush your legs, Fetso. They make holiday shopping really kind of stress-free. and a lot easier because there's so many interesting and different things. And I figured I'd bring Taffmeister along so we could talk about the Pick Your Pooch eyeglasses holder, which I'm waiting for them to arrive. I just ordered them. As you know, I have been greatly enjoying my baseball helmet ice cream holders. Sometimes I even put a little cereal in there. Sometimes I put a little yogurt in there. Taffy, how cute is that? All right, not very. Uncommon Goods, they look for products that are kind of, don't embarrass me, that are kind of high quality, they're unique, often handmade, or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists, small businesses, so every gift kind of feels special, like you chose it and like you put some effort into it, instead of being just a lazy jackass who goes to Spencer's, or let's just take that out, instead of being a lazy jackass who just goes to a place. Taffy, I'm doing an ad. Do you like when Daddy pays the bills? Uncommon Goods, they have something for everyone, even a little dog who wants to get away. Wait until Taffy sees the Pick Your Pooch glasses holders. All right. Thanks for nothing. Moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, sports fans, foodies, everybody has got something they can find on this. The site's amazing. Mixologists and gardeners. I hate how they put those two back to back. Like, yeah, we got all varieties of life, but I guess they do. What if you're a mixologist and a gardener? What if you're an alcoholic with a tomato plant? When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you are supporting small independent businesses and artists. Every purchase is a chance to choose something really remarkable and unique and feel good about where your money is going. Every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait, you silly goose. Make this holiday of the year you give something truly unforgettable. You're a lousy gift giver. Everyone hates getting your gifts. This is a chance to do something unique. Get them a little helmet to put their ice cream in. Get them a Pick Your Pooch glasses holder. You put the little dog there, you throw your glasses on. You can even make barking noises when people come over. They'll be like, oh God, if I've ever seen anything cuter, I don't remember when. Get you 15% off your next gift. You go to uncommongoods.com/Norton. uncommongoods.com/Norton. 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Well, looks like once again, Daddy is here to save Fatso from a bad read. Oh, my pecker doesn't work, Lyle. What do I do? I got to grab him by the collar. Man up, fat neck. Stupid fat pecker kissing neck. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to say any names, Norton, but his pecker just kind of lays there. It lays there like Christopher Reeve after the horse threw him. Just kind of lollygagging. Just kind of lollygagging. And he's yelling at it. He's screaming at it. I'm like, just take the blue pill, you big fat idiot. And he does. And I'll, hold on a second. And he takes the pill and his pecker stands up and he finally feels like a man. And I'm like, you're giving yourself away. You got blue grit in your teeth. I got to teach this guy to wipe his teeth off. You got a little blue grit in your teeth. Oh, these are some good jokes. Fellas, you know what time it is? It's time to level up. Blue Chew just dropped something crazy. Next level championship belt gold-plated energy. Blue Chew Gold is the newest innovation for the number one chewable ED brand. Ed? What, is there a guy named Ed with a limp pecker? This ain't your grandpa's little blue pill. Trust me, that was nitroglycerin. I had to put her under his little tongue when he grabbed his chest. Oh, Chipper. Oh, Chipper, you shouldn't have made me lift the filing cabinet. I was busy. This is the 4-in-1 beast that's been setting the gold standard for performance. By that, they mean your pecker. We're talking two ingredients for blood flow to keep that rocket pumping. Mixed with apomorphine. Mixed with apomorphine and oxytocin to turn up the arousal and connection in your brain and body. I know what those are. Blue Chew Gold dissolves right under your tongue, and it works in as little as 15 minutes. Sometimes I'll tell a woman, because she'll be fluffing it and going, it ain't working, Lyle. And I'll go, give me that pill. And then I'll just hold the clock, and I'll go, get down there and get ready, babe, because you're about to be impressed. You can get it on quicker, and you stay in the game longer. Elevation without hesitation. I made that up. They should pay me. This is peak passion and peak performance in a single tablet. Wait, these are funny. The next time she sends you a you up text, answer with a picture of Blue Chew. Oh, Ladies, if you're listening, send your man the link and make him a trophy husband with Blue Chew Gold. Forget Netflix and chill. This is Netflix and Phil. Home run, Blue Chew. Make life easier by getting harder. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. The comedy writer is so good, I'm just going to laugh all night. Got a special, I don't want to say his name. We got a special deal for, that my list is, but I guess old Blubberneck has got them. Get 10% off the first month of Blue Chew Gold with code Norton. Blue Chew Gold, code Norton. That's promo code Norton. There, I said it. Visit BlueChew, BlueChew.com for more details and more safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. No, Norton thanks you for sponsoring this podcast. And I thank Norton for having a limp pecker in and begging me to come and do his job for him.
You're a comfortable guy, though. Like you strike, I've always envied that about you. Like, you're comfortable just, like, I watched your, it wasn't a set, but I watched your, when you eulogized Gilbert. That was online.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and, it was really funny, and it was touching, and it was legit, and it was connected to him, and it was really funny. Like, you're very good at being funny in those really difficult situations.
Yeah,
which I admire. It's not easy to do.
Well, I always, you know, I was like the one in my family making jokes at funerals as a kid. You know, like, to me, that's the purpose of being funny.
Making people laugh.
Not everybody's going to make a living out of it.
Right.
But like, that wasn't on my plan. But being funny when people are down, I always felt like, I always felt good when I got a laugh out of somebody that was miserable.
What's the, this is going to sound like, this is like the type of journalist question that somebody at the Home News asks in 1991. But of all the roasts you've done, and I should be, just understand that I know I'm a hack.
What is the, ask me which my favorite was?
No, what is the best joke you've heard? That, like, for me, like a nod, because you're so good at those. I think it was Samore when she was roast. They were roasting Flavor Flav, and she said, "You look like Magic Johnson should look." I mean, that's it's one of the greatest things anyone's ever said. I don't know her. I've always wanted to hug her for that. I think it was Samore.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember that joke. I don't remember who said it. That's how good that joke is.
Can you look that up? Because it's really embarrassing. It's really bad if you get the wrong black woman. If it was somebody else,
she was there.
I thought it was her. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know her. But if I ever met her, I'm gonna hug her and tell her how much I love that joke.
She'll be happy. She killed. That was that is, by the way, my favorite roast. People go, "Who was your favorite?" People on the street every day. And I always say Flavor Flav because he had so much fun at his own roast.
He did, right?
With his feet kicking, like, from the big chair. Like, he was just like a little kid in a kid sit in a high chair.
Yes, and he didn't take any of it personally.
Yeah.
Which one was your least favorite?
I don't think like that, to be honest with you.
Was there one that you had, like, if you had to rank them in order of the way you loved the way your jokes went, which would be the top and which
Flavor
would
Flav is up was there.
Yeah.
But I really, really love the Hugh Hefner roast right after 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Sheen was one of my favorites. I thought I was the funniest at the Charlie Sheen roast because I had weeks on the road with him, like, prepping.
Oh,
like,
you were with him?
Yeah.
Oh, he was doing gigs back then.
Yeah,
oh.
And I would come out and roast him. So I was building up 15-minute set, you know. So at the roast, I knew I could close that roast. I had good stuff.
Oh, I didn't realize you were you open. Is that her right there? Yeah.
Oh yeah, there it is.
You're not dark, but you're skinny. You look like Magic Johnson. Sure, like, it's just my favorite. It's such a vicious.
America, I swear.
Oh my god.
That should have it got a laugh.
Snoop laughing.
But that should have gotten a much bigger pop.
Right.
She should be so mean.
She should be hosting the Golden Globes.
That literally should have led. That should have led to a movie contract.
Right.
That line was so good.
Right.
It should have led to a movie contract. I also have no ability, and we'll go to a call too. I have no ability, to go to you've done private parties at people's houses. There's certain guys I'm really fascinated with because you're funny in situations that I would have a hard time being funny in, like comedy clubs. No, like Modi. Modi does all of these really Hasidic hard people. I would never make them laugh.
Right, right.
And he kills.
Right.
You go into people's houses and you've done roasts in houses and you kill under circumstances that I would find unworkable.
Yeah. I like roasting from the inside out, getting to know a situation, becoming a member of the family or a friend.
You do.
I like doing the research. I like that. I find that the challenge. People go, that's so restrictive. You're not doing your art. I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm writing.
Right.
I'm writing specific, like making a tailor-made suit.
But you don't hate, like, I get so filled with shame when I'm around the family and they're talking to me. And I'm like, I'm just such a flake. Like, and you're just comfortable being there.
In the beginning, I didn't like it. I was like, oh, they're having their party and I'm just like the help.
Right.
I'm showing up. The comic. So wait over there. But as I got better at it and commanded more respect and only did the gigs that were treating me right. And wrapped my head around the fact that, yeah, these are great gigs. Like the privates are fun. You don't have to carry any, you don't have to promote it. You don't have to sell tickets. You could just show up and it's not on your schedule. It's just like one and done.
Do you just kind of take it as, I've been trying to do this more in my life. Like, you just kind of take whatever it is, just go with it. Like, don't try. I try to control everything, and it makes me miserable when I'm controlling everything.
Yeah, no, I haven't been able to get to that yet.
No, you kind of,
yeah,
you're
still like
controlling.
The control. Yeah, I mean, you know, I produce a lot of these roasts that I do, all of them, basically. So I am a bit of a control freak.
Well, when you go to a party like that, do you go, this is where I have to be? This is what has to happen?
Or no, not as much as I used to be. That's a good point. Not as much as I still get there early. I'll move the mic around, you know, I'll move the furniture myself. Like, I'm pretty hands on with, like, this isn't going to work. And
right.
let's not videotape this, and because then people can relax and make sure there's a second mic in case the guy wants to say something back. And I am always have a little bit of a producer head on. And I guess that's a control freak.
Yeah, but you went to a police department in Boston. On the border, you're still like these. I've talked to you about this. I've told you this privately. It fascinates me.
Thank you.
That you are able to do that. And when you went into, was it Juarez? Were you right by there when you went over the border?
I was in hold on a second. Right on the, starts with a B. I'm having a brain fart. Brownsville.
Oh.
Brownsville, Texas.
Okay.
The tip. And you know, the tip is the most sensitive.
It sure is.
The very tip of Texas, where the Mexican border fence is.
And what's the, and what is Mexico right underneath there?
Not Laredo, the
border. I thought it was the Rio Grande, but I guess not.
Yeah, it is the Rio Grande.
Well, what did you have to do to go into Mexico? Because that would terrify me.
You have a fixer who talks to the cartel so that they know you're not coming in there to cause trouble.
And they know you have cameras and stuff.
Yeah, and they definitely watched us. And we left. We wouldn't stay very long, a few hours. We went to a missionary where migrants were staying. People who got deported would sleep there. And the Rio Grande Valley.
How many miles into Mexico? Was this?
Oh, people walk every day over this one bridge.
But when you went in and you had to talk to get a fixer for the cartels, were you more than 10 miles into Mexico?
No. A couple, like the city, the two towns are like sisters. There's a bridge that connects them, and people will work in Mexico, will live in Mexico and walk over a bridge to work at a hospital in Brownsville.
Okay. Yeah,
the Rio Grande Valley is what it's called.
Okay.
And people, even the cops there are Mexican and their families are Mexican, so it's complicated sometimes.
Right.
I can't imagine what's going on there right now. It must
Were you
be
nervous
really,
going over there? You're in Mexico.
Very nervous.
Because a cartel can say something. What, do they just kind of go on their word that they're not going to do anything if the fixer gives the okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And even the military, the cops there are walking around with machine guns. Driving by on pickup trucks, staring at you down with their faces covered, so you don't know who's who.
How did they make you feel when you were there? Did you feel welcomed, or did they make you feel like, get the fuck out quick?
Well, I didn't talk to anybody who was like, get the fuck out quick, but the fixers were all like, here. And I did talk to a coyote, somebody who brings people
right
over the border, and we fuzzed out their voice a little bit and covered his face so that he wouldn't be exposed. And we talked to immigration attorneys who hooked us up with these types of people. So, yeah, it was very, precarious at times and a little scary, and that's kind of, I like that stuff.
Yeah, so you were over there for about 3 hours and came back.
We went over a couple times. But
oh,
yeah.
You did?
Yeah, it's probably more than that. And yeah, this footage that he's looking at now is from a...
about people who have been deported.
A sanctuary spot in Mexico where people got deported and thrown into this place.
So does that give you a different perspective on immigration? Like when you've actually been there and talked to people and spent time with them, like does that give you like a different outlook on what it is and what should happen with it?
Well, anytime, you know, so much of comedy and journalism for that matter is behind a desk and someone's reporting and you're getting... But very rarely do you hear an eyewitness account. And to me, that was always more interesting. It's like roasting. You want to like get to know the person you're roasting, so I want to get to know the place. You know, I like to become a chameleon and get into the mindset. And even regular gigs, Jim, I like to go a day or two early if it's a big gig, sometimes longer. Like this Rio Grande Valley, I spent a week there, the jail, the cops. It was at least a week each time. You want to roast things from the inside out. You want to understand the subject really, really well. And, you know, I met, obviously, a father and son coming over the border. I met a woman who was pregnant who came over the river. It's eye-opening about how lucky we have it. And, you know, I talk shit for a living. So the idea that we're in a free country and people want to come over here, I totally get that.
I'm smiling when you're talking because I'm thinking about your joke about I'll butcher it, but the thing is basically if you were the head of a cartel and your Jewish name would be El Chapo, just
El Chapo's cousin El Chapo.
El Chapo. See how much faster economy of words. I made it long. If you happen to be a cartel member and you were from this, shut up, Jim. Let's take a phone call if anybody has an advice question.
This is fun plugging my specials from 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I'm really enjoying this.
Just want to say you guys are fucking inspirational people, man. I tell you, like, Jeff Ross, man, like, your bumping mics was beautiful, man. Like, you captured Bob Saget, Gilbert Godfrey, captured some beautiful moments on film, man.
Thank
Bruce Willis, huge fan. Jim Norton, a huge fan. Fucking radio. I went to college for myself. Tough crowd. A huge fan, man.
Take your time, bud. You're doing great.
Well, I would say you sound like you're in a bit of a caffeine spiral right now.
Totally got my guard there. So.
He's got that energy of trying to talk himself out of a ticket or something. You get busted with a bag of Coke. Yeah, you're kind of a manic energy.
Rock, did I see your show? I'm always late, Jeff Ross, your show by Ticket Man for the Ride, man, it sounds beautiful, man. The story, it sounds like a beautiful story, man. I'm dying to see it live.
Oh, good. Well, you'll get to see it on Netflix next year.
Oh, they shot it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
All right, I'm
editing it now.
Oh, that's what you're editing? Okay, yeah. We were working around Jeff's schedule because he said he was editing. Or, was there any advice you needed, sir, or were you just kind of listening crazy? You know, yeah.
Sorry, I was just a listener. I had no idea I was going to jump on. I'm a huge fan. Sorry, this is such a surprise.
But you're perfect. You're doing great.
Thank you for having me on.
You sound like you're running downhill when you're talking.
What are you doing right now, buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
I was just trying to leave for work. I was so surprised. Sorry. Oh, Jim, it means a lot, man. It's so great to talk to you on the phone.
That's awesome, and I can't even hear whatever that you're chopping up on a mirror. It really is. You sound like you've been busy all
the... Dude, I get that all the time, dude. I get that all. I'm actually going to work right now. I'm sober, but dude, I get people ask me that all the time. I'm like,
where do you work?
Thank you. I drive forklifts.
Yeah, baby.
For Honda.
I don't know if I trust this guy about a forklift.
We make Honda Civics and Honda Steer.
All right, thanks for the call, man. Have a great.
Can I call you later with some pickup with some forklift questions?
Oh, fucking please! Yes, please. All right, buddy. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right.
See you later.
He really meant that.
I'm from Canada.
Funny pickup.
He was cute.
Nice. But I mean, people who are I like when people are nervous because it makes me feel like that's how you should be when you're talking to people of our ilk.
Of course. Not necessarily great radio, but definitely makes me feel
people
good.
People hate it. People hate the calls. But I happen to like the calls. What's your name, sir? You're on the phone with Jeff and Jim. If you're not laughing right now, your eyes are broken. My wife hates when I do this, when I put the glasses upside down and I go for big laughs. Ah, ghost bed. I'll go out there and I'll just go like this and expect people to smile, and she hates it. Everyone is stressed, broke, pretending they love it. Least you can do is get a decent night's sleep while you deal with it, while you fake it. Ghostbed helps you out. They make premium mattresses designed to actually last. There's no gimmicks. It really is comfort that holds up. Daddy has one. It's in Daddy's bedroom. Daddy sleep cool. Daddy has a nice Ghostbed mattress, a nice Ghostbed pillow, and Ghostbed sheets. They've been doing this long before it was trendy to sell you one online. It's a family-owned business, more than 20 years of experience. Every hot sleeper already knows this. Overheating in your bed, it's not just a summer problem. Believe me, even the coolest of us sometimes run hot. Ghostbed's cooling materials regulate your temperature year-round, keeping you right where you need to be for a deep, comfy sleep. Even if you're a hot sleeper like Daddy, the technology, it does adjust to you. I cannot say enough about my Ghostbed. Their mattresses are built with premium materials. They have ProCore technology, which adds reinforced support where your body's the heaviest to help with back alignment, pressure relief, all that stuff. And the mattress is backed by a 20 to 25 year warranty, so you're not replacing it every couple of years. You're also, you're going to get 101 night sleep trial, fast free shipping. Most orders arrive in 2 to 5 days. So this time in next week, you can be sleeping more comfortably, even before you're finished pretending to enjoy the holidays. That's what I do. I'm like, hey, happy holidays. But deep down, I'm like, bah, humbug. Right now, put your glasses on, sexy. During Ghostbed's Cyber Monday sale, get 25% off site-wide for a limited time. Go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use that promo code Norton at checkout. Why don't you? That's ghostbed.com/Norton. Use that promo code Norton. You upgrade your sleep with Ghostbed, the makers of the coolest beds in the world. Some exclusions apply. Go look at that site for some details. Other jewelers hate Steven Singer. Why? Because he looks stupid. No, that would be me who looks stupid. Steven looks like a well-endowed stud with a fine jewelry store, and that's exactly what he is. He's got real natural diamond stud earrings. He's got the best ones in America. Everyone knows diamond, gold prices. It's through the roof. It's crazy. Gold is the highest price in history. But here's what's lucky for you, besides the fact that I'm only wearing this hat for another minute. Steven is locked in his diamond studs at the old prices. He's got diamond studs available from a quarter carat all the way up to 10 carats total weight. I don't know why I'd say total weight, like really drill. What did you think? It was going to be 2 fives? 3 threes and a one, Jim. I really suck. There's no better time to get a pair of diamond studs from Steven. Got my wife's engagement ring from Steven Singer. Honestly, you know my wife. She is what we would call a snot who's difficult to please. But she loved the ring. Steven, he could not have been better. I've loved this guy for a long time. I'm talking about Steven. No better time to get a pair of diamond studs. Each pair's eye flawless and nearly colorless. It really are. They're beautiful. Safety silicone back, so you're never going to worry about losing them. And he's got an unbeatable full lifetime trade-in, so you always are going to know they're worth exactly what you paid for them. All backed by the best guarantee in the jewelry business is a full 100% hassle-free 100-day money-back guarantee. There's fast shipping, there's free shipping, and then he combines them, and he makes fast and free shipping. Experience the difference at StevenSanger.com, the fancy Steven Sanger. Online, you go to IHateStevenSinger.com or the other corner of 8th and Walnut down there in Philadelphia. IHateStevenSinger.com.
U.S. college students get Google Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM,
Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hey guys, this is Matt. I'm calling in for a question about like sex addiction.
Sure.
Pornography. So I figured you're the expert, Jim.
Thank you.
I'm 35, happily married. You know, I definitely played the field a lot when I was younger.
Sure.
And I find as I'm getting older, you know, definitely venturing into the pornography of, you know, trans, gay, bi, et cetera. Sure. And, you know, I stopped and I questioned myself. You know, when I was younger, I couldn't even comprehend watching something like that.
Yep.
Now that I'm older and it intrigues me, was that something that was always inside of me and now I'm more comfortable, or was it like drugs? I need something harder.
Good question. You're saying,
like, did you ever?
Yeah, I know what you mean. You're saying, are these urges kind of like a part of your like innate sexuality? Is this who I am and who I've always been, or is this a kind of a manifestation of addiction? Just one more, like in grabbing vodka instead of beer. I know what you're saying. I don't know, to be honest with you.
My wife's like completely, you know, she doesn't care. You know, I'm 100% comfortable with my sexuality. I just find it odd. You know, I sit there and I question, you know, like, you know, was this something, you know, more and more and more. I definitely have an addictive personality.
Sure.
I guess I'm asking, like, has that thought ever came across your mind, or are you just so comfortable with your own sexuality? It doesn't bother you.
I know. Like, I've thought of it, but I mean, look, I don't think that most people, no matter how addicted they are to pussy, are going to someday go like, no one's answering the phone, let me suck a dick. Like, it just doesn't work that way. I don't think you would completely switch. You might go from being tied up to spanking or from normal sex to dirty talk, but I don't think you're going to totally jump to a different set of genitals just because you're bored one day. So, no.
I don't know. People have wives and kids, and they have sex their whole life, and then suddenly they're gay.
But I wonder, like, but the question...
Is it suddenly? It's not suddenly, you're saying.
Yeah, I'm guessing, especially if you, like, leave your wife or kids, you've probably had that in you. Like, you've probably been ejaculating, thinking about stuff like that for years and just been ashamed of it.
Hmm.
That's my guess. I mean, for me, I've always known that I do love women, but I've always dabbled. And by dabbled, I mean fucking dove face first onto my friend's dick when I was a kid. Fucking triple lindied onto it. I guess.
What do you mean when you say you're comfortable with your sexuality? What does that mean exactly? It means you're open to.
So I know I like watching pornography with trans, with gay. That's fine with me. Like, parties we go out to, like, people know that. Like, I joke around with it. Like, I'm not ashamed of it. You know what I mean? But I question myself, like, what drove me there? Was it a sex addiction? Or was it in me, like Jim said? Because it was a gradual progression, you know what I mean? It was the dipping of the toe, you know?
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I guess that maybe it's different for different people. Like, some people might start with it's already in there, and some people might develop it. But I don't think that you wind up watching two dicks rub together and liking it if that wasn't in you to begin with, so to speak.
Unless you were never exposed to it.
And that's true.
It's like, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I kind of
right.
like that. Yeah.
Like, I never cared about a Porsche until I saw one up close.
That's
was like, oh, wait, maybe I am not
hey,
a
that's a
guy
fucking
anymore.
Great analogy.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah, that's a very good analogy.
I'm trying to be open minded.
Yeah. And you've never, Jeff is not, you're totally straight.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So for guys who are totally straight, it's probably like an incomprehensible leap. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know guys that are like.
I did try in high school to jerk off to the quarterback of the football team. I've never told this story.
Really?
Just to see, like, maybe just to make sure I'm straight before I
sure.
start going, yeah, I guess. And it just kind of didn't work. I was like, well, that's arguably the best looking guy in the school.
Sure.
Let me just close my eyes and see if this works. And it just didn't work. It did move over to his sister in my imagination.
By the way, see what Jeff just said. I'm so happy you said that. because all these people who think being gay is a choice or whatever, and I'm not gay, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm a gay adjacent. But like
a gaychin.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just kind of like, I'm just dipping my, I tell you. But people who think it's a choice, like, you try to choose. I would say that to anybody who thinks it's a choice. Choose it for a week. Like, don't fuck another guy. Just try to fantasize about it. You won't be able to do it because it doesn't work for you. And you tried it. It didn't work. How many shots did you give it, though?
Just like 40 or 50.
Okay.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, like one or twice. I remember thinking like that early on, like, oh, here's a good looking guy. Sure. I wonder, you know, this would be, if I am, this would be the guy. And it didn't work.
And in the fantasy.
But I remember it till this day that I had that thought. So being gay is not a choice, but not being gay is certainly a choice. People closet.
Oh, yeah, not expressing it. Yeah, yeah. Of course. We're not living in it. Yeah. But it's there. Like, it's like, you know, he's trying to get in the room. So what did you, in the fantasy, did you fantasize about, like, holding his hand? Or did you want to kiss him? Or what did you think?
Oh, wow. Good question. I feel like he's,
because I never thought about kissing guys. Like, the idea of kissing one of you guys, I'm being sexual with just, like, one of my friends is as gross to me as it is to them. I tell them. Yeah, it really is. Like, I find it as repulsive as my friends do.
I don't think I got that far. I think it was more like, what is his physique? He was a stud.
Yeah, he was in good shape.
Yeah.
And did you look at his muscles and you start and your dick just wouldn't respond?
Yeah, right. It really didn't. It just wouldn't.
He did nothing for you.
But for some reason, I remember trying.
Yeah,
I'm proud of myself for, like, being open-minded.
100%. You went right for the quarterback. I mean, that's exactly
what I was aiming high.
You went for the full package.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, in my straight life, I would go for, like, the chick who didn't make the team. You know, like the but, like, as gay, I was like, well, let me go to the top.
Absolutely. If I'm going to try this. Like, because if you start jerking off to some guy, you know, oh, this is my friend, he's like a computer guy and he's fucking kind of, you know, kind of autistic and just stares straight ahead. Well, no wonder your dick couldn't get hard. But if it can't get hard for the quarterback,
right,
you know it's not in you.
Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Although maybe his chemistry was just wrong.
Maybe.
Did he ever give you vibes?
Maybe I should have thought about the linebackers, the big hairy.
Yeah, maybe that's your preference. Maybe
the Bears.
Like, yeah, maybe you like a big fucking hairy guy who's kind of out of shape.
There was a long time there where I didn't even want a male masseuse if I was on vacation.
That's fair.
And over time I was like, no, I want a male because they're going to go deeper and hurt me.
Yeah, they are. They do give great massages, but there's times where I go through weird phases where, like, I don't even want, even if it's just a massage, it's not sexual. There's times where even that way, I don't want a guy's hands touching me. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, there's just with the fucking, they do this and you can feel the hair on their forearms. And you're like, get the fuck off my back. So yeah, I go through that too, right? Even for a legit massage, sometimes I don't want that.
Yeah, I've overcome that part of it.
Yeah, I prefer a gal if possible.
So what was the question? Whether it's...
Oh, he was asking basically, do I think that his, and I don't know him, is it part of your addiction that all of a sudden you, all this pussy, and then you're like, all right, now what, trans and dick, or is it something
I think
that was
in some
all
cases,
along? Both.
You get so much, the rock star level, three ways that you're like, I need something dangerous.
Yeah, that's true, but no foodie has ever gone, I've eaten so many Michelins, I got to just chew a little crushed glass.
That's not true.
Have you?
No, but yeah, there's fancy people who want to go to McDonald's.
That's true.
And just binge out.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I still don't think...
Too much of anything, you want to try the other thing.
Well, Miles Davis, the story about Miles Davis is that I've heard that he tried it. I've heard Sammy Davis did... The story I heard about Sammy, and it may not be true, was that he was in a threesome and a girl was blowing someone, and he said, let me dig on that thing. No, I don't know if that's true or not, but I hope it's true because I love that he would say, let me dig on that.
I love
that
you're
that
getting
thing.
An exact quote from a bedroom at 4 a.m. in Vegas. You're getting a quote, not even a story. It's like
it's a direct quote. Let me dig on that thing. But that sounds like something he would say, but maybe that's why somebody made it up, too.
Hey, it's candy, man.
Oh, Brando is bisexual. I didn't know that. I heard that him and Richard Pryor had something, and then I heard that that wasn't true. I heard he blew the guy who did Mighty Mouse. Do you ever hear that story? There's a picture of Brando. Apparently, they say it's Brando with a dick in his mouth. And it's the guy who did, I think it was Mighty Mouse. Wally Cox. Yeah, actor Wally Cox. He had a lifelong intimate relationship with actor Wally Cox. And he would have married him if he had been. Can you find that picture just so Jeff doesn't think I'm crazy? Not them sitting there, but him with the allegedly with the penis in his mouth. What a strange guy for Brando to fall in love with. Just some little nebbishy guy with glasses. He looks like Dahmer.
Wow.
Wally Cox, but that's not who you think of Brando blowing, right?
No.
Maybe that's why I liked him.
But Brando was the best looking guy ever when he was young, and he probably had a lot of charisma.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, look at that.
It looks like Brando, right? I mean, the penis is just kind of appearing like a UFO. It's like one of those UFO photos. It just shows up out of nowhere in his lips. It might not be him.
He did have a quote about liking men.
Oh, he said, like a large number of men, I tell that homosexual experiences, and I'm not ashamed. I called homosexuality so much in fashion, it no longer makes the news. Okay. I have had homosexual experiences.
Wow.
I guess he couldn't have said that back then.
No. But he said in 1976?
Oh, you know what? I guess in the 50s you couldn't have said it, but by the 70s he didn't give a fuck. He had already done The Godfather, and he was just, I guess, done. And then he releases this picture. That looks like Brando, though. That guy, and the guy's a huge hog, too. Who knew that fucking Wally Cox, which I guess I should have heard the name, figured out he was packing. But he looks like a guy with a big dick, too, because he's a skinny, weird dude with glasses. Like, that's the type of guy that surprises everybody.
Well, back then, it wasn't about how hot he was. It was about whether he could keep a secret.
I guess so,
trust,
too. Yeah.
That's hot. Trust. Someone you can trust.
I guess, yeah. Can you keep your mouth shut? When it mattered. Oh, yeah. When he kissed Larry King.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right, let's go to another call. We're all getting fucking hot and sexy here.
Jeez.
Hello, you're on the phone with fucking Jeff. This is, by the way, this is by so far the absolute gayest episode I've ever done.
Really?
I apologize.
Glad I could help.
Yes. Hey, hello.
I've been trying to call in for weeks to talk to you about this.
Okay.
I have a girl that I'm going to marry.
Good for you.
And I recently found out that for the past 3 years, she's been sexting ex-boyfriends.
Huh.
Explicit, well, very explicit.
Do they know about you?
Yes, they do.
Do they think that you're involved? Because a lot of times you get couples that
involved,
reach out, meaning like that you're okay with it.
No. So I confronted her about it. I read her text messages and her Instagram messages on her phone.
Oh, okay.
And confronted her about it. And she knows, one of the guys knows, one of the other guys doesn't know. And she has since said that she'll stop doing it, but she's doing it light. She's,
yeah,
like, she'll be like, oh, I want a baby. And then text her ex-boyfriend, oh, I want a baby. And her ex-boyfriend will be like, oh, I'll put a baby in you. And she'll say something back like, I would love that.
Yeah, it's just dirty. It's one of those things where it's like, maybe she just kind of needs that to keep from feeling. In this day and age, man, where everybody is at your fingertips, it's hard to not feel trapped in with one person. So maybe that's just what she needs. That's her perversion, is just keeping those. I'm not saying it's right, but maybe that's the extent of it for her. Just some texting and some dirty stuff to get off to.
You would fucking love her, Jim. She used to, her nickname used to be the cuck queen.
You know what?
She would cuck guys and
I do love
and
her.
Fucking and cheat, and then her boyfriends would turn around and they fuck and cream pie and eat the cream pie out of her pussy. She told me all these stories.
Oh.
She had a child at 19 years old.
Do me a favor. Give her my Instagram, bitch boy. She sounds like a great girl.
She's a fucking good egg, dude.
Yeah,
but she's just pissing me off because I'm from the West. I'm a fucking cowboy. I don't play this fucking game, and I've confronted her multiple times now. I'm about to confront her again tonight.
All right.
When she gets off work, some more texts that I saw that I'm not happy with.
Let me ask you: have you ever experienced anything like this? Like had a girl cheating on?
Well, hold on. Is the confrontation? Could that lead to something hot between you two? Like, are you looking forward to confronting her? Is this sort of a foreplay thing?
Right.
I'm not looking. So the two other times I confronted her about it, we had crazy fucking makeup sex. I mean,
yeah,
sticky shit, places stuff shouldn't go, and just wild makeup sex over her apologizing over
Where'd you stick things that they shouldn't go in her ears? Big dildo in her ears. Fucking a carrot up her nose.
She tried to stick a dildo, not a dildo, she tried to stick a butt plug in my ass.
This girl rules.
That's what you get. You've been sticking your nose in her business.
Exactly. You stick your nose in her business, she puts that in your hiney. Take it, dirty.
Pull that chair up next to the bed.
Yeah, look, dude. I'm a dirty guy. The cheating part I wouldn't like, but there's something about the sneaking around that she probably likes. And it's not that she's going to fuck these guys. That's just her. I always thought Tiger Woods. Here's an example. When Tiger Woods got busted, his golf game suffered. And that whole weird texting thing and talking dirty was probably a part of his, like, fucking... his ritual to manage himself, like his almost like his drug regimen.
Right.
So you kind of get used to hitting yourself with dopamine. So maybe that's what she's doing to manage her life.
Here's the other part of it that I haven't told you yet. Okay. She told me the first time I confronted her about it that it's a fucking dopamine hit for her. And she likes to get these other guys going on text and then fucking leave them on read.
Sure. I mean, that's, again,
she likes to just get them going and then just leave it.
Yeah, she likes cucking. She's a good dominatrix. If things don't work out, I would. I'm not going to say any name, but there is a person who I would put out of this apartment very quickly to get a young cucktress queen. And
is it me?
I'll send her. She's coming the New York way. She's coming the New York way in December. I'll send her. I'll tell her to look up old James Norton.
Yeah, I would say this. I mean, how would you handle that? I mean, like, again, I'm a dirty guy. I've had girls cuck me a little bit, but it does come to a point where if it's really dishonest and it's like not good. But if you kind of know she's doing it and she's only fucking you, can you live with it and can you embrace it? Like, one girl I used to put out dirty ads with, looking for guys with big dicks, and she would call them. And I would just fuck her while she talked to them on the phone, and they never knew. Or I would go down on her while she talked to them on the phone, because it was perverted and hot, but there was no line crossed.
Right. Well, you were in on it.
I was completely in on it.
Behind my back, I don't think I would like that.
Maybe not behind the back, right. So why don't you ask her if she can include you in it, if you can live with it.
Or show them to me every night, or...
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. It's like a recap. How was your day kind of
thing? Yeah, recap, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Do a recap before bed. So, whore, who'd you talk to?
Yeah, we fuck every single day. Like, even if I don't want to, she forces me to.
Yeah, she's probably a sex
addict. And
enjoy it.
She's absolutely a sex addict.
Okay.
Or a text addict.
Maybe she just likes her text.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I was reaching out to you for your input, because you're the fucking king on this. And Jeff, I'm sure you've got more experience in this than I do.
That's nice. Jeff, I'm sure you've been cheated on. That's a real nice compliment for our guest. Jeff, believe me, they fucked behind your back. Right,
it's a rough feeling. Yeah. It's a rough feeling.
It is. Yeah. How did you catch somebody?
I don't know if I've... The cheating thing, I can't really point to an extreme example, but it's more like other stuff. You know, stealing or lying about where you are or lying about how you feel about me.
Stole money from you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
A lot?
Nothing crazy.
But was it cash or was it through credit cards?
Credit cards.
Did they deny it?
Yeah. Said it was a mistake.
Okay.
Did just you talked her way out of it. No, no, but it was fine, you know.
You just stay with her?
No, but still stayed friends for a while because I don't know, I'm very forgiving.
Sure. Yeah, I can forgive.
I don't want to make enemies.
No, and I can forgive the credit card one. I mean, if I was mad at, you know, overspending on credit cards.
Yeah.
Fucker.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm a very tolerant boyfriend.
You are. All right. Well, good luck, man. I would say enjoy this girl. Go down on her and make her tell you dirty stories, or like use it in bed somehow, and you might be able to turn yourself on with it. Okay?
Pretend I'm your ex. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretend I'm your ex. All right. Take care, buddy. That's interesting, though. Like... Because you kind of hit on it. Like, you could tell there's something about it he likes.
Because if he led with, I'm about to marry this chick. But thing bothers me.
Yeah, and we always have good makeup sex. I'm going to confront her
that's
later.
That's why I said, is this kind of a...
Yeah.
Well, I said that before he said makeup sex.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't even think I have good makeup sex. If I'm really angry, my dick just panics. I do. It's awful. The best description of a soft dick I've ever heard was my dick looked like a stack of dimes. I wish I knew who wrote that. Because that's exactly my dick looks like after an argument. Let's do, what time is it? Let's do one more call. Yes. Hello, you're on with Jeff and Jim. Good evening.
You're on the air.
All right. Well, I guess I have a two-part question.
Sure.
Well, one, I have a feeling that being with a man or a trans has to be kind of a relaxing feeling when days when you can't get hard. It's like, you know, you get hard tonight. Is it something like that?
Well, no, because, and you also, no, but my excuses won't work. If I'm like, you know, the fucking lights are too bright. She's like, well, I don't care. My dick works. So, yeah, no, it's not. It removes your excuses because they know when you're full of shit. Regular women I could fucking lie to all the time. Really? That affects you? Yeah, too much coffee. It doesn't work. You know?
Right. Okay, yeah, it's good way to think about it. All right.
All right.
All right, and I guess my other question is, if you had to punch somebody in the face, and it's either Colin Quinn or Robert Kelly, which one is it?
Hmm. Fuck. I mean, can I put them close enough together so one punch hits them both? Can I punch fucking Fat Bob's head into Colin's giant head? I would say that.
Cheating a little bit, but, you know. Okay.
Yeah.
I
like to split my punch in half and smash them both. Do you still take karate, by the way, or was that a childhood thing?
Childhood thing.
I always remember that. It's weird the shit you remember about people. Like, I always remember that you took karate when you
were a kid. I became a black belt at 10 and a half.
You did?
Yeah.
And do you remember any of it?
All of it.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had to use it?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah. Self-defense.
Now, have you used it, like, by grabbing somebody or actually knocking somebody out?
Oh, no. More like as a deterrent or stepping in to block something.
Oh, you've done that?
Yeah. But not in a long time. But I did do, I still mess around my nunchucks and stuff and do some kicks over the summer just to feel what that feels like. And
can you still kick?
I can do the front snap kicks pretty good. I can't do a side kick anymore. I can do a roundhouse, but not great. Yeah, my front snap kick's still pretty good.
Yeah, the front kick, you know, those little teep kicks to the stomach I can do. One of my greatest moments was Voss bragging about his martial arts experience, and we were out in front of a some sushi fusion place, and he went to throw a front kick and he slipped in garbage juice on the sidewalk and he fell on the sidewalk.
Wow.
And it's literally one of the greatest things. Like, I'm like, that's what it's like to have a child.
Wow.
Like when your wife gives birth, that's the feeling. Wow. It couldn't be better than that.
Taekwondo'd.
Did you ever compete in a tournament?
Oh, yeah, I got a room full of trophies at home.
Oh, really?
From when I was a kid.
So you were good.
Karate tournaments all over the East Coast. It was great.
Why'd you stop doing it?
I got hurt. I got hurt playing football, and my kicks weren't the same. By then, I was a teacher. I was a karate teacher, so I sort of kept teaching for a while, but I wasn't as good, and I got into more conventional sports when I got to high school.
How old were you when you taught karate? I didn't know you taught it.
To be a black belt, to become a black belt, you have to teach adult classes.
Even as a kid?
Yeah.
And they would listen. I guess it's got to be weird hearing a 10-year-old tell you.
Well, I mean, I felt like they listened to me, you know, and I think feel like I taught for years after that. I would teach other kids, too. I was pretty good.
Did that make you feel confident? Like, even though you took it as a kid, like, as an adult, would you always feel like physically, like, I'm all right?
Yes. I always felt like I could defend myself and whoever I was with if I had to.
If you had to.
Yeah.
But you don't look for trouble, but if it came.
Right. Like, I'd always. And I also, like, have old habits from karate. Like, I never have my back to the door at a restaurant. I have to, like, watch who's coming in.
They told you that when you were 10?
Yeah, I was just like, I can't help it. And I still have pretty good reflexes, and I still feel like my guard,
Right.
Maybe I can't kick and fight the way I could, but I feel like the blocking, the defense, I could still do.
I took, I was doing Muay Thai today, like, just, again, very light sparring with my the guy who teaches me, and I'm just a fucking, it's effortless for him to defend. Like, he'll just let me throw stuff or he'll teach me to defend.
Yeah.
It's effortless how he defends everything I throw. Wow. I suck. It's really.
Where do you do this?
Like at Kenzo Gracie's. I do Muay Thai and Jiu Jitsu. I just, you know, it was to get in better shape and also just, you know, self-defense because I need to lose 25 pounds. But I mean, it's so hard. Like, defense and reflexes are so difficult.
Cool.
It's fun, and jiu-jitsu is fun. But it's like, you know, I realize, like, the reason I'm not getting my ass kicked every day is because other men are deciding to leave me alone. Like, that's what you realize when someone really knows how to fight. Like, you know, I could be strangled very quickly on a subway train if a guy really knows how to do jiu-jitsu.
Sure.
So that's why I learned it. I get sick and tired of being uncomfortable.
Mm.
You know, like not that I couldn't defend myself, but not knowing.
Well, it gives you confidence, a little bit of swagger. You're walking down the street with your lady. You want to feel like you can, you know, no one's going to bully you around.
She's 5'11 without heels. I hide behind her. I'm like, you handle this. You handle this. I'll just hide behind your balls.
All right.
You take this
well,
one.
There you go.
Would you take it again? Would you train again?
I think I should, hearing you do it. And I've been thinking, I go to yoga sometimes, and yeah, I really should. There's no reason I don't.
Yeah, Henzo's is great. I always do private lessons because of the schedule. It's just the time it works.
Yeah.
You get an hour with someone who's great, and you know, I'm always...
Privates would be great. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, and I, it's sparring, I say loosely. Like, they're letting me, like, you know, they're not giving me 100% fucking...
Sure.
They're not trying to knock me out.
No, but do you learn technique? Do you learn the moves?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, in jiu-jitsu, definitely. Hmm. But again, sometimes I just recognize when I'm rolling with this guy, like, oh, I'm getting about to get strangled, and he loosens it, but I'm like, oh, I know what I did wrong there. I understand why that just happened. Like, you know, I mean, sometimes you just learn why. It's like when you ask your girl out, like, oh, she said no, but I know where I fucked up.
Yeah.
I know what my approach was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love you, Jeff. I mean, I'm happy you did this. I mean, we know each other a long time. It's crazy.
Crazy. How long?
I mean, at least 30 years. I mean, because I know you from 90. I remember, I think I met you around 30 years ago. It was probably when you were getting ready for that Letterman, because I remember the Letterman, and I remember knowing you when you did it.
I feel like I knew you even before that.
I'm sure.
I saw you in Jersey once, and I was like, how do I not know this guy? We're both from Jersey.
When did you change your name?
Sometime around 93, I bet.
Oh, I knew you before that then. I knew you when you were when you were under your Jeff Goebbels. I knew you were originally.
Goebbels.
But I mean, like, I remember when you changed it, so it's like, I say I know you for over 30 years?
Yeah.
And I'm happy you're healthy. Your health is okay?
I feel great. I'm in good shape.
You do?
Yeah.
You've talked about things or no?
I have.
Okay.
I have a little bit. It's all, it was in the Broadway show and stuff too.
Yes.
Yeah.
But is everything...
just everything's good. I'm very lucky. I had colon cancer last summer. Had chemo all year last year, the second half of last year. I still have my port right here. You can see it. But I'm okay. Everything looks good, man.
Did you get sick? Did it make you sick?
Not too bad.
Not too bad, right?
No, not too bad.
When you have that, does it change, like, okay, and you survived it? Do you see life different, like, every day?
It's bad. Chemo's bad, but it's not as bad as when we were kids and we would hear about somebody with chemo.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
And how about, like, the way you live now? Does it change anything in the way you see life?
I wish. Oh, yeah, the way I see life, yes. I wish I could say it changed more about the way I take care of myself, but not so much. But, yeah, I mean, I'm probably a little more, like, do what I want. Not such a... worried about what people think as much as I used to be.
Were you scared? Like meaning when you hear it, of course, but as the process is going on, are you like, wow, I'm afraid of what's going to happen?
You know, I never was. I was more like annoyed with, mad at the inconvenience and mad at my doctor for not warning me to get a colonoscopy sooner. I was a little bit like angry, but I was never scared like I was going to die for some reason.
You kind of knew you wouldn't.
Yeah. I'm not sure why.
What a great way to... I mean, I panic so much. I don't have cancer, but if I just know that it's coming. Like, that's just how I feel. Like, I feel like it's coming. Like, and I'm just panicking.
It's probably a healthy thought, because then you'll take your... That's why you're going to martial arts classes and not eating the donuts I'm throwing at you, and you're trying to survive.
That's true. Well, that'll be AIDS, because I've made a lot of mistakes. It'll be something like AIDS.
Oh, my God.
I love you, Jeff, and I'm
Jimbo,
really happy
Jimbo,
for you.
Jimbo, great to see you, buddy.
You too. I loved your show.
Thank you, my man.
And
means a lot
okay.
You came to it and all that, and all the support over the years, and means a lot, buddy.
Yeah, same here, buddy.
My man. Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.